Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, July 23rd, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The message today is love and happiness. The Old Testament reading is Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And from the New Testament, the lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13.
A familiar passage from Paul's letter. He writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love." As well as in her TED Talk, Jennifer Senior, the author of All Work and No Fun, is direct about the exhaustion of parents raising children in our modern American society. Even though across geography, race, and class, and the many, many different styles of parenting, almost every parent she studied would agree, "I just want my child to be happy." But she goes on to make the point of a historical switch. Children used to be helpful to their adults. They would make the adults happy. They would work on the farm. They would take care of the adults in their own age. But we've now switched to the point where now, instead of children being an economic worth in addition to the family, we've switched, and the children are now economically worthless, but emotionally priceless. And And so good parents run around to serve the child's happiness, driving to soccer games, arranging play dates, going to great lengths to get their child to the best this, that, or the other. And so is it no wonder that parents who don't start to feel anxious and ashamed that they aren't doing enough to make their child happy. Sometimes I see this in churches too. I once had a parishioner ask, "How do you do it? How do you keep all 200 members of this church happy? Your job must be really hard. I mean, you have 200 bosses." I'll admit, the temptation is there. In fact, I don't enjoy making people unhappy or having people be unhappy with me or unhappy with church. But I want to call into question, how do you make someone happy and keep them happy? Is that even within our control? Can I make you happy? Especially when you're not feeling great? I mean, do we as human beings have the power to switch one another's emotional state like that? Well, gosh, we really try. And we try to do this, but often I don't see it go so well. One person shares a problem or a struggle. Maybe it's something as ordinary as having a headache. And our very first response is to fix it and to help the person. Oh, here, I have an ibuprofen. Oh, maybe you should be drinking more water. Maybe you've had too much caffeine, too much sunlight. Are you getting enough sleep? We do this with small things like headaches, but we do this with our bigger life struggles as well. A fight with a friend or a conflict with a boss, making decisions about an aging parent, and trying to raise children. The most common response to hearing somebody's issue and struggle is to then push information on them and knowledge and advice. Oh, have you seen this website? Oh, I know the perfect place. Have you tried this app? You just need to. The last time you might think you were on the receiving end of getting all that information and all that advice and all that good knowledge, did it fix your problem? Did it make you happier? My guess is most of the time, no. I mean, I'll take an ibuprofen now and then, but most of the time when solutions and information and knowledge gets offered, even with the best of intentions, you find it just doesn't fit your life. So then you end up defending your choices or explaining more. Oh, that's not going to work with my boss, or my child is different, or you just don't understand my mother. And so the whole good intentions of a friend or a family member who's trying to fix the problem backfires, and the very person who's trying to make someone happier potentially makes them unhappy. And so I really do question this making someone happy proposition. I think we're going about it the wrong way. Instead of making people happy, I wonder instead about love and offering love rather than offering to make someone happy. And here's how love is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. It is kind. I was noticing verse 5 this week. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. think life is about giving and receiving love more than it is about making others happy. The love it will fix more than running in to fix it with knowledge or advice or answers. One of the preachers I worked with out in Colorado always said, life is the school, love is the lesson. And love never ends. And here's the thing, we can love somebody even when we can't fix them or make them happy. And we can also receive and be loved when our own situation is unfixable and unhappy. Our Old Testament text from the book of Job, you remember Job, the man who lost everything, property, wife, children. And at the beginning of Job, his friends came and they saw his great distress. And what did they do? They joined him in his pain and they sat with him in the dirt for 7 days. In silence. Later in the book, they try to talk and reason with him, and I don't find that part quite so helpful. But at the beginning, they came, they sat, and they were with him. Because death and tragedy and suffering is the ultimate unfixable situation. And you can't make somebody happy. Nor, I wonder if you should be trying to make someone happy when they are in that situation. But the lessons that we know from caring for somebody who is grieving are also equally applicable to those mini deaths, the smaller pains and trials of our lives. And the same advice that we remember and we help people do when they're grieving can be the same ways to love the people around us. So what really shows love in those situations of pain are things like listening, respecting how the other person is processing, being patient with his mood swings, avoid giving advice, staying connected and available, being there. When you're with somebody who's hurting, the best way to love them is often to slow down and to love that person just as who they are and where they are, not trying to make them where you want them to be. That kind of love as a gift is really precious. And as we're discussing spiritual gifts in our Many Gifts, One Spirit series, I'm remembering another time I was looking at these gifts passages, and a young girl said, well, I guess I have, you know, we're talking about the gifts of prophecy and speaking. She says, I guess I have the gift of love. It's really not as special as anybody else's, but it's what I can do. Love may be common and something we are all able to offer. But let's not confuse that with it not being special. In fact, Paul lifts it up as the greatest gift of all, greater than knowledge, greater than prophecy, greater than preaching. And again, it's a gift that we all are able to share. Mother Teresa, who dedicated her life to loving others, says there are no great acts of love, only small acts done with great love. And so as we recognize gifts in this congregation and the gift in our own life, that it doesn't have to be a big thing in order to be given and shared. We've been recognizing all these gifts with ribbons, and today we'll recognize gifts of folks who help with communication and keeping us connected, who make sure we know who we can be praying for, people who keep us in loop with one another. Martha Circle, who gathers and studies together and prays for one another. Small acts done with great love. And so as I finish, I would challenge you this week that the next time you run into somebody who shares with you a bit of their pain, I challenge you to offer love this week, not happiness and not the fix. To resist the urge to fix someone in pain, but instead to offer that gift of love, of patience, of kindness, not insisting on your own way, but doing it with love. And in that way, allow God's love to work through you to be God's love in the world. Thanks be to God. The people say, amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.